Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. Homeowners, auto, life, and business insurance. If service and price are important to you, and those are the basics, isn't it? I mean, really. Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Slice of information for you as you move forward. Tim Curley, Gary Schultz, and Graham Spanier have all been bound over for trial after a preliminary hearing in Harrisburg. So they will all face trial. That was expected. As we've talked about many times, when it comes to grand juries and when it comes to preliminary hearings, they are all completely weighted toward the prosecution. Very rare do you see really even a preliminary hearing these days, because a lot of people waive their right to a preliminary hearing and just skip and go right to trial where they can defend themselves or at least mount a defense. How about mount a defense? That's probably a better way of putting it. But they went through the preliminary hearing, which was part of discovery, and it was really no surprise that they were bound over for trial because, again, you're really not allowed to mount a defense at this stage. So now we'll see. A trial date will be set, and it goes from there. But again, Tim Curley, Gary Schultz, and Graham Spanier all bound over for trial in Harrisburg today. So they will stand trial on the charges. So now let's get to the trade rumor part of it. The Phillies, through contracts, have their hands tied. I mean, that's where they are. Their hands are tied right now because of contracts or because of longevity. They, in order to trade Jimmy Rollins, they need his permission. Why? Because Jimmy Rollins is a 10-5 guy. 10 years as a major leaguer, 5 consecutive with the same team. So he has to approve any trade. Number two, Michael Young says that he'll accept a trade, but only to the Texas Rangers. Really? Next is Carlos Ruiz, tradable. Detroit and Boston walked away from a possibility of Jonathan Papelbon, which tells you what they think of him, because they each need a closer. In fact, Detroit went to Houston, and the Tigers got Veras to be their closer. And, of course, then there's Chase Utley. The Phillies want top prospects for Cliff Lee, but he's expensive. I mean, you're talking about a $70 million contract. So these are the problems that the Phillies face. Hasn't been a lot of movement yet. Veras, of course, ended up going to the Tigers. And Jesse Crane, who was an all-star with the White Sox, was dealt to Tampa Bay for a player to be named later and cash considerations. That's a good pickup there for Tampa Bay, who already, they already have great pitching to begin with. Now they're acquiring a guy with an 0.74 ERA and a 4-1 strikeout to walk ratio. Impressive. Those have been the trades. A lot of talk about Alex Rios to Pittsburgh. Originally, the White Sox wanted two top prospects. I can guarantee you the Pirates are not giving up two top prospects. The Red Sox have also backed off Jake Peavy. They wanted Will Middlebrooks. The Red Sox said no. Then Peavy got scratched from a start tonight. And there have been multiple trade rumors surrounding him. He's been linked to trade rumors with the Red Sox, the Cardinals, the Braves, the Dodgers, and Oakland. Sir, did I ever tell you the story about his trade from San Diego?
I don't think so.
Okay. Now, as you know, one of the minority owners of the Padres is a really great friend of mine. We went to college together. We've stayed friends forever. Well, the Padres had Jake Peavy on the roster. And financially, at this point, was weighing them down. They'd re-signed him. They'd put a lot of money into him and weighed down. Now, Peavy's current contract, I'll just let you know, Peavy's current contract with the White Sox is $14.5 million. Okay? The majority owner, I'll leave his name out of it. The majority owner at the time says, look, we had a deal. We got it. So he tells Kevin Towers, who was then the GM of San Diego. I think Kevin's now the GM at the Diamondbacks. But Kevin Towers was the GM at the time for the Padres. He says, Kevin, whatever you do, move him, get him out of here. So finally, I don't know, about a week goes by. They sit down, they have this meeting, and Towers announces, he says, we moved Jake Peavy. And they're all like, oh, terrific. That's great. All right. What a relief that, it gives us more flexibility financially now. We're not locked into one contract. And Tower says, well, wait a minute. You want to hear what we got? And the owner looks at him and he says, you mean they gave us players too? You mean we got players too? Yeah, you did. He's one of them out there. He realized they get something in return. True story. Well, now Peavy's on the move again. Looks like he's going to be on the move today. Replay in baseball. I've talked about this before, but it's something that has to happen. Baseball, I mean, baseball is deeply ingrained in those of us who love sports. I love football, college, NFL. I love football. Always have. I've always loved baseball. I really love college basketball. The NBA I'm okay with, but I love college basketball. But, I certainly follow the NBA very closely. And I love hockey. Love watching the big golf tournaments, big tennis tournament, big race like Indy or Daytona. In fact, the other Sunday I was driving up listening to the Brickyard 400 on the radio. All right. And baseball certainly has its own pace, and certainly with numbers and so forth, has been romanticized over the years. It was America's pastime, without a doubt. In the 20s, probably the only thing that would rival a Major League Baseball game in the 20s, or the popularity of baseball, would actually be boxing. Big fights drew big crowds, drew big listening audiences on radio. Dempsey, Tunney, Joe Louis, Braddock, okay, Max Baer, Schmeling. Times change, and baseball's popularity was great in the 30s. NFL was around, NHL was around. There was no NBA. In the 40s, Yeah, baseball, no doubt. Even in the war, it was big. Franklin Roosevelt, then the president of the United States, wanted Major League Baseball to keep playing because he thought it was good for the psyche of America if baseball kept playing. And baseball did. The NFL finally caught hold with the American psyche in the late 50s and into the early 60s. The NHL actually is still in its growth phase now, but the NHL is getting more popular all the time at this stage. But the NHL was still, they only had six teams up until 1966, and then they had the big expansion in 67 when they doubled, when they added the Flyers, the Penguins, the LA Kings, the Minnesota North Stars, the Oakland Seals, and the St. Louis Blues. So then they finally started expanding. The NBA finally started getting rolling a little bit in the 50s and then the 60s, the Bill Russell years and so forth, and then started catching some popularity, some in the 70s, fell back, then Bird and Magic helped it take off into Jordan and LeBron. So baseball, while enjoying the popularity being the national pastime, is no longer the national passion of the country as a sport. The national passion of a sport is football, and especially the National Football League. And as time has gone on, baseball's made some changes, the designated hitter 40 years ago being one of them in the American League. But when you look at football, football understood quicker than anybody else the impact of television. Pete Rozelle understood it quicker than anyone else, what TV could do for the game. Actually, the number two, believe it or not, probably would be, well, in terms of technology, the NHL. The NBA is probably number two in terms of what TV means. The NHL was trying to find a home. The NHL finally figured it out. And in terms of replay, the two that have really advanced it, the NFL did it, the college model's better, and the NHL does a great job with their replay. And again, baseball lags behind. Pace of play. So many people have called this show at 800-795-9565, and they've said, look, Steve, we don't agree with you about rushing. I don't want them to rush, but I want them to move. Do you need to step out of the box every time, walk around a little bit, and readjust your batting gloves? Really? You know, people are paying money to watch something here. Runner gets on base, things bog down and slow down. Okay. Do you really need to make that seventh throw to first base? Baseball needs to, I don't want them to play speed golf. I do not want them to play speed golf where you hit the ball, run, and hit again. No. But there's certain things they can do in the game that could shave off a minute here and a minute there. That's fine. That's another issue. But now let's get to the replay part of it. College football and the NHL are the gold standard on replay. In the NHL, everything goes to Toronto. Every goal that is scored or not scored goes to Toronto. When you see the referee, the lead referee, there are two in the NHL in the game, go over and pick up the phone, that's communication with Toronto as to whether or not the goal was scored or not. College football, it's not perfect, as evidenced by the Matt Lehman play last year against Nebraska. or by the Nick Suke alleged interception against Purdue. Jack and I know he trapped it, but the replay official said no, it was still good. So I'm just giving you a plus and minus for Penn State. You know, let's show a little objectivity here. And when you look at that, and the NBA is making some advances, college basketball is making some advances, and the NFL has the challenge system. The important part is to get the call right. And something that really galls me is when I hear somebody say, yes, but what about the human element? I hear about the human element, how it makes the game almost more, the game is just so much better because of the human element. Sarah, I want to ask you a question.
All right.
Who looks at the replay?
I would think a human.
Yes, a human being looks at the replay. Yes, as a matter of fact, yes. A human being does look at the replay. So I don't want to hear about the human element because there's not a robot up there looking at the replay. You can do it one of two ways as far as I'm concerned. They're going to expand it, but they should have expanded it a while ago. You can do this one of two ways. Either centralize it like the NHL does, where every game is piped into a central location, or you can set up replay booths in each of the 30 ballparks in the majors. It's an $8 billion industry. I think you can afford it. Give each manager two challenges. I would think on most nights, maybe one will be used. On most nights. And expect each manager to save a challenge for late in the game. Also, when said situation comes up, allow the replay to be shown in the park, like the NFL does, like college football should. You have to give the park, arena, or stadium experience the same experience at home. Do not be afraid of it. And for umpires, referees, and other officials, to me, a replay is the equivalent of having your back. I think it takes pressure off of them on calls. And you'll find most of the calls are right anyway. The Nava play, now let's preface this. Nava should have scored on the double that was hit before this. He misjudged where the ball was, whether it hit the wall or not, and he only ended up going to third. That said, he scores last night. That doesn't mean the Red Sox win the game. But it does tie the game, and now at this point, you don't know who's going to win. And it's another step and a setback for the game. You have technology. Look at your own personal lives. 20 years ago, which one of you had a computer? 20 years ago, which one of you had a laptop? An MP3 player? Okay? Any of this stuff? How many of you had a 50-inch flat-screen HD TV 20 years ago? Well, if technology is good enough for your own personal life in your own home, it should be used in Major League Baseball. And give, you know, in order to keep the pace of play going, give the managers two challenges. And then if a game goes extra innings, add one more challenge. And I think it would improve the game. And the most important part is you feel like most of the calls are right. You can't challenge balls and strikes. But tag plays, plays at first, fair or foul, in terms of, you know, once it gets past the bag. Okay? Remember Mike Matheny on the no-hitter by the Mets last year? On Santana's no-hitter? Ball's fair. It's a double. It's called foul. He ended up getting a no-hitter. Mike Matheny argued get thrown out. He was right. But give, and all home runs should be automatically reviewed anyway. And that could be done centralized. They should automatically be reviewed. Now, obviously, when you hit in the upper deck, it's obvious. But you need to improve the game. You need to have people walk out and feel like, oh, man, you know, we got screwed by the umpires last night, blah, 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 blah. Like, the integrity of the game, the umpires do a marvelous job. Now give them a chance to do a better job. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. So let the sizzling summer sales event get you fired up. Like a 2005 Lexus ES330 sedan. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. Ford Fusion 5-door SE, just $12,995. 2011 Ford Fusion 4-door sedan, front-wheel drive, $14,997. 2010 Honda Odyssey EXL, the perfect minivan for traveling, $24,643. 2011 Jeep Wrangler 2-door Rubicon, $24,997. And a 2012 Ford F-150 Supercrew, $145. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
News next. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. Kratzer Insurance on board with us today. Homeowners, auto, life, business insurance. If service and price are important to you, check them out, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. They'll take great care of you. Rob Beer Temple, Pirates beat writer. Tomorrow, Pirates in the first game of a doubleheader lead. The Cardinals won nothing early. Won last night over the Cardinals 9-2. We'll talk to Rob also with the trade deadline tomorrow. We'll talk with Rob as well about that. Steve Samsel on media later this week. Also, Mel Proctor. For years, one of the voices of the Orioles, the Washington Wizards, a lot of national broadcasts. He's written a book, I Love the Work, But I Hate the Business. And we'll have Mel Proctor on later this week as well. And a big Penn State basketball announcement coming up tomorrow as well. So we're looking forward to that. So a lot going on. Very active. Our thanks, Jason Dombach, the general manager of the State College Spikes, for being on with us today as we talked about the business today of minor league baseball. And it is a business. And like everybody else, they're fighting for, whether it's the Williamsport Crosscutters, the Reading Fighting Phils, the State College Spikes, the Altoona Curve. You know, they're fighting in a market to get you to come out and be a part of it and see it. And they also know that, you know, that right now that entertainment budget's a little bit tighter. And they realize that. News-wise, Tim Curley, Graham Spanier, Gary Schultz, as expected, because the preliminary hearings is, you know, I mean, you rarely see something tossed out of a preliminary hearing. They're now bound over for trial. Now they have to set a trial date for the three of them. That happened today in Harrisburg. So we're up to date on everything. And, of course, in Major League Baseball, I mentioned the Pirates were up on the Cardinals 1-0 early today. That's in the bottom of the second at first of two. Cubs lead the Brewers 5-2, and that is in the top half of the sixth inning at Wrigley Field. And those are the games going on today. We've talked about replay in baseball. 800-795-9565 is the number. 800-795-9565 is the number. I mean, do you like it the way it is? You know, I know a lot of people talk about being a traditionalist. And believe me, I'm a traditionalist in a lot of ways. But you also have to advance. I talked about our industry, how we've advanced. I mean, Sarah, you use different means and equipment now than you used years ago when you started the job in gathering news.
Right, that's true.
And that's the way it is. I mean, it used to be, for example, if you listen to any music on the radio, you're listening to it off a computer. It's evolved from a 45, a 78, to an 8-track, to a cart, to a CD, and now to this point where it's played through a computer. I used to have reel-to-reel tapes, then cassettes, then mini disc. Now I work off computer. I do my charts on laptops now, as opposed to doing it by hand. So in your own personal lives, you have technology. How many of you do your banking online instead of writing checks every month? Just in your own personal lives, technology's made a difference. You now have HDTV 50-inch screens, and you can watch all that at home. Why not give the sport itself that same power to get it right? And that's a big reason why they need to go this route with replay. Not just because the technology is available, but because everybody at home can see it. They can see it's a blown call. They can see it's a miss. And people know that if there was replay, it could be corrected and be right. It is not about tradition. It is about being right. Willie McGee is going to be in the ballpark tonight here in State College. He's a roving instructor for the Cardinals. He was involved in that 1985 game with the Kansas City Royals. The George Oyda play. Pivotal in Game 6. Completely missed call. How about Jim Joyce in tears when he realized he blew the call at first base that kept Guerrero from a perfect game? You have replay, the kid has a perfect game. Human element. Who looks at the replay? Robot? Human. It's just a human element with help. The game of college football is much better now because of the use of replay. Much better. You feel like every time it happens, it may take a little bit here and there. But you feel like as the game goes, it's right. As a broadcaster, you're not sitting there and questioning the calls. Now, they need to make the next step in college football and show the replays they're looking at in the stadium. What's there to fear? The NFL took that step last year. You cannot review balls and strikes. You can never do that. Just like in football, basketball, or even hockey, you don't review penalties. Basketball has the flagrant, though. They can review that. My goodness. A lacrosse league that they're paying $800 a game to the players, they have replay. This is an $8 billion business. You wanted to give every opportunity to be beyond reproach. And that's what this does. And I think for the umpires, I think they feel in a system that they'll find that they feel like the system has their back. The umpire in last night's Red Sox-Rays game made a statement. I missed the call. Now, do you think that he swaggered back to his hotel last night feeling really good about himself? How different would he feel going back to the hotel, realizing that the call was corrected and they moved on and that he actually made a whole bunch of other really good calls in the game, and then in the end it was all done right? It's just another tool. So what can be reviewed? Tag plays. Force plays at bases. Trap or a catch. Ball down the line, fair foul. And give the managers two challenges a game, and then if you get to extra innings, add a challenge. And I think you would find that most games that maybe there's a challenge, some you wouldn't have any, depending on the situation. Most games, I would say most of the time you'd see a challenge. I think it'd be rare where you had all four used. A lot of the barking is on balls and strikes anyway. But give the manager that opportunity to go out. I challenge the play. You can either centralize it and have it in one location, or you can have each ballpark with the equipment, with a technician and another umpire up there to take a look at it. Show it in the ballpark. That way it keeps the flow going. Even though everything would stop for the replay, the fans would all be looking at it. There is nothing wrong with showing replays in stadiums or parks. Nothing wrong with that. Because if the fan at home is looking at that, why can't the fan in the park, stadium, or arena look at it as well? The NFL did this last year. It was a great move. It kept the fans actively engaged in what is going on. And it goes back to another point of disgust. You have to make the stadium, arena, or park experience better than the home experience. And TV, by the way, wants that. TV loves the ambiance of a full house, loves the ambiance of the excitement a crowd gives and what it does on TV to boost the juice of what you're watching. So TV wants that. They want you watching at home, but they want a full stadium, park, or arena because they know it does make a difference in the ambiance of the game and the excitement of the game. So don't be afraid to show the replays in there. I've never understood the reluctance to show replays when it's a backup system. Now, I can understand not showing the replays if you don't have replay. You're trying to protect your officials. But when you have replay, show it. Now, in football, for example, showing a possible pass interference play on the replay board, okay, got to show a little judgment on that one. But when it's a play, it's a reviewable play, and they're reviewing it, let everybody see it. Jack and I laugh openly in Beaver Stadium when a replay comes up. People turn around. We usually get like 500 to 1,000 people turn around and look at the booth, and then we have to have that gladiator moment. Thumbs up, thumbs down as to what we see. Show it in the stadium. Let the fans see it. If you're a league that doesn't have it, then don't show it. But in baseball, show those plays. Let the fans see what they're reviewing and why. Let them become actively engaged in it. In the end, the man upstairs makes the definitive call. And the time it takes for a manager to come out and argue a play could be well spent reviewing the play. You'll have a different feel also in the park, too. It'll be like the NFL. There'll be a play, and the fans will say, come on, review it, throw the flag, review it. People will get engaged in that. It'll quickly become part of the culture. Just like in the American League, the DH became quickly a part of the culture. We're not talking about a dramatic overhaul here of a great game, but we're talking about enhancing a great game that I think will make it better. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. Home, auto, business, life. Let's face it. If price and service are important to you, and I would think it is to most of you, if not all, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Some good news for Ohio State football, because Carlos Hyde is not going to be charged at all in that incident that took place at a downtown Columbus bar. And I think the door is now open for him to be with them the entire season. So it's good news for Ohio State. No word yet on what's going on with the Hernandez case or on the trade front. And referees might force the Eagles, Kelly, to slow things down. Now, I think this is wrong. I don't think that they should do anything to slow down and control tempo. You want to go, you go. And here's my reasoning behind that. Defenses can do anything they want. You can rush all 11 players. You can drop all 11 back. You can move around before the snap. You can fake blitzes. You can do whatever you want. You have complete freedom of movement with all 11 players on defense. On offense, you don't. On offense, for example, you don't have you have five linemen that can't cross the line of scrimmage. And before the snap, only one person can be moving. Now, multiple guys can move before the snap, but once one moves, boom, must reset, then the next one can move. And you can't move forward at all. Not one person on the offense can move forward before the snap. There are restrictions on offense. There are no restrictions on defense. So why slow the tempo down when they put a defense on their heels? Why? I don't understand that, why they want to do that. You know, if you play it right defensively, you can force a three and out, and you can do it in 25 seconds. I mean, you know, there's some advantages to this. How many times have you seen teams in a hurry up and all of a sudden they go three and out because they throw three incomplete passes and 32 seconds ran off the clock? Advantage defense. So I think trying to slow the tempo down and have referees slow the tempo down, I think is wrong. You want to go fast? Go fast. And guess what? Going fast doesn't always indicate success. Like I said, you could have a 32-second three and out. So Kelly wants to run a play every 12 seconds. That's fine. Let him. You got to be really, really good to run a play every 12 seconds in advance. So I don't understand this. I mean, I've heard, you know, some defensive coordinators complain about, oh, you know, they're going too fast. Hey, you already have the advantages. You can blitz. You can drop everybody. You can zone blitz. You can move. You know, you can actually line up your guys 10 yards downfield and have them all move forward before the snap. Offense can't move forward at all. Can't even flinch before the snap. Can't even flinch. Can't throw the ball to all 11 guys, the other 10 guys. You can only throw the half of them. You can only throw five of them out of 10. The other five can't touch the ball. All 11 guys on defense can touch the ball. So this idea of trying to slow it down, control tempo, what are you talking about? They want to go fast? Let them go fast. And by the way, there are moments where in watching Oregon last year, sometimes going fast, I found to be like a little like, it didn't get me out of my chair every time. So it's not because, I'm just saying, if they want to go fast, let them go fast. The problem is on defense now is that with so many packages they want to put out there, you're missing every down players, especially at the linebacker spot. You're going nickels and dimes, and you have pass rushing specialists. They want to be able to keep their packages. Well, here's my suggestion. Develop more versatile players. Today's show is brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. Home, life, auto, business insurance. If price is important to you along with service, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.